First Thessalonians this morning. If you got your Bibles, there's a little letter in the New Testament called First Thessalonians. And at the end of that letter, Paul gives a series of instructions to the church in Thessalonica. And one of those instructions, one of those explanations, let's try. Oh, yeah, I hear that. I don't know. Turn the microphone off. Hang on. You got any? You know what? I'm going to change batteries here. Okay. I don't know. No. I don't know. All right, if y'all can y'all get past the no. Right. Yeah, I guess use yours. It's happening. Fog machine lights. Is this thing on? Can y'all hear it? Weird. All right, I've never preached with one of these things. This is.
If it doesn't, the string's too short, pull this.
Here, make it a little bit longer. All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. I feel Star Trek-y. I don't know. All right, 1 Thessalonians is where we are at the end of the little letter, chapter 5 and verse 18. I'll read you the verse. Of course, it comes in context. There's a whole lot of other things said. But this is one of those things that, I love what Jake did this morning. That was really well done. Don't get the big head, but that was really well done. That's really well done in Sunday school. Jake taught Sunday school this morning. He did a really good job with it. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Thankfulness, we're talking about this month, and it's one of those things that is a theme that runs all the way through the Bible, and it's part of the will of God as expressed here, and I'm glad that it's expressed here, because sometimes, you know, sometimes it's harder to find God in situations, and you're trying to think about, I remember like Job says, you know, it's like the Spirit of God passed before me, and I didn't even know it, I didn't even know what was going on. And so it's hard enough to find the Lord in situations sometimes, and then trying to figure out what he wants is even more difficult. What does he actually want? So I'm appreciative that sometimes the will of God is just said, like this is what God wants. And part of us understanding and part of understanding that God is good is understanding that what he wants out of people is good. And what he wants for people is good. And so this part of God's desires for people, his motivations, one of those things is gratitude. And particularly in Jesus Christ, and discovering and understanding all that Jesus Christ has done for people. That's specifically what's wanted in here. But God's will, obviously, first of all, is gratitude. It's said specifically. Everything give thanks. This is the will of God. This is what God wants. I don't know if you guys are like me, and some of you probably are, and thinking and questioning, you know, what is the will of God sometimes? What does He want? And I hope people ask that question. I hope people can think beyond themselves and think of a higher purpose and a higher reason and a higher cause and things like that, and think, okay, what is the point here? What are we doing? What does God want with my life? And then you come to a verse like this, and it's just said, this is what God wants. He wants gracious, thankful, grateful people. This is what He's trying to produce. I love the way you said it this morning, Jake. This is one of those things where God's trying to produce something here, and this is the point of the words of God, to produce certain things in people. So gratitude is one of those things, and I think, again, maybe the application of this sermon will be, or this teaching, this sermon will be, that we focus on things that we're grateful for and think about being grateful and what we can be grateful for. Like, I was thinking about it this week. I'm thankful for a good wife. I'm thankful. You're welcome. Yeah. I'm thankful for kids and the kids that I'm thankful for their help in the ministry. I'm thankful for church family. I'm thankful for people who are right now working in a nursery or teaching a Sunday school class while we're all being able to enjoy what's in here. And I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for good friends. I'm thankful for conversations during the week, good times with friends during the week. I'm thankful for a job. I mean, there's so many things. I think if we just thought about it a little bit, there's so many things to be grateful for. And that attitude, that gratitude is what God is trying to produce in people. And because it's the good will of God to produce this in people, it's going to have several effects in your life. And I think you'll find that the will of God is healthy, it's good, it's life is what it is. And so thinking about God's will as gratitude, you know, it reminds me of one of these psalms where it talks about entering into His courts with praise and His gates with thanksgiving. Like, this is what God is trying to grow in people. And so, first thought, just sort of a foundational thought, and then I'm going to give you three sort of sub-points about this. But the foundational thought is, this is what God is trying to do. He is a good God who is trying to produce gratitude in people. And that is good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to be grateful. It's a good thing for people to be grateful. That said, you're going to find that with this heart attitude about life and this perspective on life and perspective on things in life and perspective on the Lord and the perspective on Jesus Christ, with this perspective, multiple things, and I guess you could say fruit, would be born out of this foundation. The first thing I've noticed in scriptures, and is, along with this foundation, is when the Lord was calling out a nation in order to produce a Messiah, which is what He's doing, which is what we've been talking about in Sunday school. When He creates the nation of Israel, one of the things that He institutes in the nation is gratitude. That's part of the law. Is thanksgiving, is to be grateful, to be appreciative with the things that you've been blessed with. And this was part of the nation. So it was part of their theology. It was part of their, and I thought about calling this a very, you know, interesting title, like a theology of gratitude. I know that's super exciting, but that is what's going on with the nation of Israel. One of the things that God's trying to produce in people to shine light on the rest of the world, to be a beacon of hope to people. And so in the Old Testament, you'll find these offerings of thanksgiving. A lot of times they coincide with peace, the peace offerings, and just the way people would participate with God and in the blessings that he's provided, which is kind of what you read in 1 Thessalonians, what Paul explains here at the end. With that foundation, with what, like I just said, there's three things that I've noticed in going through the scriptures. I just want to pass on about gratitude that seem to be components of gratitude that God's trying to produce in people's lives. The first thing I notice, Paul writes another letter. He writes to this Philippian church, and he encourages them to pray. One of the things he says is, be careful for nothing, but for everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds and things like that. When prayer requests are being made, one of the things that Paul says is, make that request and make it in a grateful way. Be thankful along with this. So gratitude should be a part of every of your prayer requests. It should be a part of when you approach the Lord, you enter his gates, and you're grateful for things. Or grateful for him. And what it produces, you could say, is happiness. It's literally focusing on good things. I mean, all of our minds tend to think the worst. And really, it's kind of a thing that in any, I guess, position of influence, to understand that when people are left in the dark, they just think the worst. You guys have experienced this with, you know, probably your doctor. You know, you go to the doctor, and then they say, well, we'll let you know in a couple weeks what you have. And then what do you think? Well, I'm probably going to die in the next couple of weeks. Or I've got the most terrible thing. And so for a couple of weeks, your mind is just the worst case scenario. And it tells us our imaginations naturally tend toward worst case scenario. What gratitude is taking those thoughts and turning them to something good. What can I think about that's good? What can I think about that's good in my life? What can I think about that I'm the recipient of something that's been good done to me? And so it produces not only you're living mentally, psychologically, you're living in goodness, you're thinking about goodness, you're meditating on what's good. It is where peace and happiness, these things, I mean, it doesn't help, and you know this, it doesn't change the situation to worry about something you can't control. It doesn't really change the situation. It's not going to, Jesus says, you know, you're not going to add to your height and stuff like that, and maybe that's not a direct application of this, but the idea being, worrying about things and using your thoughts and imagination to think about the worst case scenario is how we just sort of live in evil and bad and just it's depressing. It's unmotivating. But to set your mind on good things, and Paul would say it in Philippians as well. In Colossians, set your affections on things above and all that. But he would talk about your thinking. Think about these things. Finally, my brother, think about these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, think about these things. Put your mind on these things. And you could probably, you know, again, probably clear up a lot of feeling bad. I know I don't feel good if I'm just constantly thinking about bad stuff, and you're probably the same way. But gratitude, you could see on the other side of this, gratitude is where it's where peace is, it's where happiness is, it's where joy is. Why? Because I'm meditating on good things. I'm thinking about how I've been the recipient or how someone else has been the recipient of something good, of something helpful, of something fruitful, of something productive. So gratitude is where you could say happiness is. It's looking for what's good. It's really occupying my mind with way I've been benefited or you've been benefited in life. It's recognizing good. It's recognizing good. I think this is one thing that is, I don't know, we seem so addicted to drama and so addicted to bad and so addicted to, I mean, it's like we're entertained with murder and bad things. I mean, the shows, the stuff we listen to, the stuff we watch, the stuff we think about, it's just like it's something that occupies our mind. And gratitude is the opposite of that. It's filling my mind with good stuff. And it's helpful and it's peaceful and it's happiness. I told you about this a couple weeks ago. And just a reminder, because this isn't just like theology. It's not just like religion or spiritual stuff. It is spiritual. But there's been documented research on things like this, which I told you guys about a couple weeks ago, I think. One of the things that came out of some of the research was that the ability to recognize good in your life, that is a moral quality. That is something that reinforces your conscience. It's something that reinforces goodness. It reinforces good behavior. And this thinking about what's good, this is what Paul talks about in Philippians. He talks about in Colossians. He talks about other places. But it's actually been, it's research and gratitude. It motivates people to behave in a certain way. Like I've said before, if you've received something good and you've genuinely been grateful for it to that person who gave you the gift, that encourages that behavior to go on. I'm going to use this little example because you did this morning, Jake. But with Jake teaching Sunday school and all of the, I think, positive reaction, you know what that will probably encourage him to do is to dig into the Bible more, learn more, and try to do this more often. And try to help people more often with what the Scripture says. Because people are genuinely grateful for what they've heard. They're genuinely grateful for what's been given to them. And that gratitude, what it does is it encourages the behavior. It encourages the good behavior. It encourages the good thinking. That research, there's other things about it. It's moral. It encourages morality. It encourages good behavior. It motivates people. And so it's good in that way. So the first thought I get us under this theology of gratitude is God's will, because God is good and he wants to produce good things in people. And because gratitude is God's will, gratitude about particularly what Jesus Christ has done for you, for me, because gratitude is God's will, because that's life, it produces good things in people. And that's what God's trying to produce. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's goodness. He's trying to produce goodness. And that happens because you're thinking about goodness. That happens because you're actually grateful for goodness. That happens because you can recognize what's good. Second thing is, and I thought this was kind of interesting in the Bible. There's other things, but I'm just going to give you three of them this morning. There's a time in the Gospel of John, he records where Jesus Christ feeds these multitudes. I think it's John chapter 6. You don't have to necessarily go there. But there's a principle at work. And it doesn't just show up in John, but it shows up there, and then it shows up also in Corinthians, where Paul talks to the Corinthians. And it's that gratitude multiplies a blessing. What happens in John is there's all these hungry people that are following Jesus. And he gets told about it. There's all these hungry people, and he has them all sit down. And they sit down in groups, you know, 50s, has them sit down and takes what little food is there. And the Bible gives this, it seems like, the order to the thing. And it says he gives thanks and he blesses the food, and then they start distributing it. And what happens, the miracle is the multiplication of what little was there. It's the multiplication of what was good. It's the multiplication of the benefits. And so what the Bible says in John 6 is that Jesus gives thanks. He prays over the food. He blesses the food. And then the disciples start to distribute. And when they distribute, it's not running out. It's not the two fishes and five loaves. It's a multitude of fishes. Multitude of loaves, and they just keep passing it out to people. And the principle at work is that gratitude takes a little thing and multiplies that good thing 100, 1,000-fold. It turns it into something much bigger than it was. And you say, well, that's kind of a maybe not exactly example. There's another time that this happens, and Paul mentions it. And when he's talking to the Corinthians, let me just read you what he says. The administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And so when this good thing, this blessing was distributed, when this good thing went into the congregation, the people were thankful. And the gratitude of this thing multiplied the blessing to many more people. I mean, how many, if something good happens in your life, and you tell a friend, and you're so grateful for it, and you tell your husband, you tell your wife, you tell your friend, and you talk about how good this thing is, now I get to share, they get to share in that blessing. Now we're all a part of this joy. This is how the joy is multiplied. And gratitude does that. Now you can multiply sorrow in the exact way. You can talk about how depressed you are and how terrible people are. And you can just multiply sorrow and trouble and anguish and depression and all that. Or you can multiply a blessing. You can multiply the good. How? With gratitude. With sharing the joy and the thanksgiving of this thing. And Paul would say it to the Corinthians. He said it was abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So many people benefited from whatever the blessing is he's talking about. And so this is the second principle, really, or the second benefit. Because gratitude is God's will, not only does it produce peace, goodness, joy in a person's life, it also has the effect of multiplying goodness to other people. It has the effect of making these blessings overflow to an abundance of other folks. So thanksgiving multiplies the blessing. It's interesting in those verses where Jesus Christ multiplies the fish and all that kind of thing. At the end of that little, or right before he does it, it's almost like the order is given in John chapter 6 and around verse 23. But it says that he gave thanks, and then, let me read it to you. When he had given thanks, that's what happened. When he had given thanks, they all did eat the bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. And it sounds like, well, he just prayed before the meal. Well, he did pray before the meal. What he did was he multiplied the meal. And that was a part of this gratitude. So it's happiness. Gratitude is goodness. It's a focus on goodness. And it's what God is trying to produce in people. I mean, it's what God is trying to produce in your mind, what he's trying to give you, that perspective of, I am not again, I am not entitled to things. I am not necessarily a victim of things. I am the recipient of something good in my life. And that's, I think we could all agree, is a better thing to think about than all of these other things that we could be thinking about. Thanksgiving multiplies God's blessing. And then lastly is this. Gratitude is how you and I can participate with God in what He's doing. There's an interesting, Paul writes to Timothy and has this kind of interesting way of dealing with the diet of people, because that was a question. You know, in the Old Testament, there was some dietary restrictions given to certain people. Sometimes it was to the priests in the Jewish nation. Sometimes it was to the whole people as a whole. There were some dietary restrictions. In the New Testament, some of those dietary restrictions aren't there anymore. And so there's a question, do we still only eat this, or do we still only eat this, or what are we supposed to be eating? Things like that. And Paul would explain it, and he would say, everything is good. Everything is good. And he would say, nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. If I'm grateful for it, that is the sanctifying effect desired, that I would be grateful for this. And that sometimes, you know, if you've ever, we have it really, really good in America, and there's a lot of money here. And if any of you have ever traveled to maybe a third world country, I remember we lived in Ecuador for a while in the capital city. And it was in the 90s. It was a very, very rich and then extreme poverty, like next door to each other. And that's kind of the way capitals go in nations. There's the wealthiest and then the most impoverished. And you would see folks that just didn't have much as far as this world is concerned, but very grateful, good attitude, no real sense of being victims or entitled to anything, but just a good attitude and appreciative and truly appreciative for things that they had. However little we would consider that. And the Lord says, that's the attitude I'm trying to produce. That's what I'm trying to produce in people. Gratitude. Being grateful. It's how you participate with God. This is Paul would say, this is the sanctifying factor. If you can receive this thing with thanksgiving, that makes it good, because the thing in itself isn't really anything. What is the thing is how I'm receiving this. What's my attitude about this? How do I think about this? Thanksgiving brings God's approval. It's how I participate with God. And maybe you can see it on a lesser level. You know, we had a deal with the we had an event at the college with the Veterans Day, and it was an appreciation, and the people participating in that, a lot of them didn't fight in any wars, and I'm not talking about the veterans that were honored. I'm talking about just the people that were putting on the event. Didn't fight any wars. This is how we participate with you in your sacrifice. We try to be thankful. We try to honor. We try to be grateful for what's been done. And it's the same way with theology and with God. This is one way you participate with God is in His work, is by being grateful for it. And then He can produce the things that He's trying to produce in you. Then He can do what He's trying to do in you. So gratitude is how you participate with God. I mean, again, you can participate against Him. You can do other things with for the blessings of God, but to be grateful is how you participate with Him and how He can then in turn participate back. So just a few thoughts on gratitude this morning. It is the sanctifying factor. It is the thing that makes the thing good that I'm, or it makes me better. It makes me better if I receive it as good, if I'm grateful for it, I guess you could say. So just to recap, real simple thought this morning, we'll get out of here early. But theology of gratitude, this gratitude is something, number one, and for the foundation, it is what God is trying to produce in people. And because it is the will of God, because it is the good will of God, it has these other effects. And these other effects are happiness and joy and peace. These other effects are the multiplying of the blessings. This is how I spread it out. This is how my cup overflows. I share the joy. I share the rejoicing of these good things, particularly and specifically in Jesus Christ. And then gratitude is how I participate with a good God. Gratitude is how I participate with Him and what He's doing. I'm the benefactor. He's the gift giver. And then I participate with Him by being grateful and thankful for that. And so that said, when Paul says that little phrase at the end of Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I am very appreciative of that statement, because as hard as it is sometimes to find God in life, it's even more difficult, I think, sometimes to find His will. And so the fact that you have specifically stated this is what God wants and this is what God is trying to produce, and if you want to participate with Him, this is how you participate. This is how you do it. So I would encourage you, it's just thinking about gratitude and in this month of November and Thanksgiving. Before we leave here, let's think about things we're grateful for, people we're grateful for, and let's occupy our minds with that. And let's occupy our minds with that as we go out. How many ways can we be grateful, and how many ways can we be grateful to God? And then how many ways can we be grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done? Sacrifice, his offering of eternal life. I mean, it's just, there's so much good to be grateful for that we're the recipients of. And so I encourage you to think on these things and be grateful, thankful people here now and as we go. Let's do this. Yeah, you want to play a little bit, Sam? We'll do what you did last week. We'll have a little time just to think about this. Think about being grateful. As Sam plays a little bit, you can bow your heads, close your eyes if you need to. Consider what God's done for you. Consider what Jesus Christ has done for you. And consider that this is the will of God, to be grateful. And if you are, it has these benefits that we've talked about.